Do you think we'd get more listeners, viewers, if we were like had more professional backgrounds? I mean,
no.
Or do you think it? Or do you think it's part of our brand?
I think it's part of our brand. Yeah, yeah. I think we'd get a way more listeners and viewers if we were like on the BBC. But no, I don't think it has much to do with the background.
Do people still watch the BBC?
A lot of people do, James. It is depressing. Yeah, a lot of people do. Yeah, millions, in their millions.
Yeah, I think people say that COVID could never have happened without social media, which I'm sure is true. But I think it probably could also, this country could never have been submitted to the kind of vaccine tyranny were it not for the power of the BBC to brainwash people. I mean, it's extraordinary how many people have the BBC News on and take it seriously, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, again, we don't watch it, but you shouldn't underestimate the amount of people who do and really trust us. Really, really trust us, you know, on what they're saying and just don't even understand why, how a newsroom is put together, why certain stories will be chosen over others. And it's always good to do that exercise, you know, with a story you're not invested in.
Yeah.
But you just know that they have chosen, you know how they choose a story and
totally
speakers. And yeah, it's the stories they don't cover. That's that in itself is a political decision, right?
It is a good game. I don't read the papers anymore. I just don't, you know, because for the same reason I don't watch the BBC. And I happened to glance at the business, the finance section of the Telegraph, and the lead story was, it was some row about how about vaccine shortages were going to be a problem because EU member states weren't cooperating or something like this.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, okay, where did this story come from? Mm. And I saw that it had been produced by some university. So it was based on a press release produced by academics. So you see how these things work. They want to get out a particular narrative. Vaccines,
yes.
Get your vaccines now because there could be shortages. So how do we reinforce this narrative? We promote this bullshit story from these academics who are probably funded by the people promoting this care. And
yes, no, I know. And I mean, actually, so I haven't, as you know, again, we try not to listen to it, but now and again, I've been dipping in and out of Today Radio 4 or just the BBC. And, you know, they're still dragging on scientists talking about like a third wave. What's the word today, right, coming back from the school, what's the very worst thing that could happen? Just, you know, obviously they want it to happen, but what's the very worst? They're still dragging on the doom mongers. And the worst thing that happened, they're running is, of course, and even the terms they use, you know, like escape variants or mutant escape variants. Yeah. And it's like there will be an escape in this as if. Anyway, the whole terms are ridiculous. You know, it basically is a variant that spreads amongst young people who are currently not vaccinated. So again, a big push to
Is it one of those really scary variants where you can get it and you have no symptoms whatsoever?
Yeah, I know.
Just don't know you've got it.
Yeah, no,
that's frightening, isn't it?
This variant might be so bad that you might actually know that you have it. Right, you might have a bad cold or something. So.
Really?
Because considering that one in three people don't even know they have it, as I tweeted, and I mean, it just sums it up. I've said to you before, it's a virus so deadly you need twice weekly tests to see if you have it, and it's a vaccine so effective you need twice weekly tests to see if you have the illness you're supposedly vaccinated against. You can't argue with that kind of logic, right? You can't argue with the nonsense. It's crazy.
What about the deadly black fungus that they're getting in India? That sounds very scary and invented, doesn't it?
Yeah, I haven't dipped into that Indian story because again, I just don't trust what they're saying. Even if things, I'm sure, may very well be bad in certain areas. Oh, by the way, I did see something on an alternative news site, which I assume is true, that there's a region in India now giving away ivermectin for free because they know how effective it is. Yeah, one of the states.
Which it is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So they're just giving it away for free to reduce the symptoms or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no.
People who call me on my mobile. I mean, that was a nice person. I like him. But how dare they? Seriously, I don't like this modern world. But people think they can just call you on your mobile phone, like, randomly. Like, do you not think it's a bit of an imposition?
Well, I mean, very few people do it now. You text and then you might call. I mean, I'd only do that if I was in a rage, perhaps, and it was just, it's been a while since I've just randomly called my parents.
Ivermectin, I think, is one of the most extraordinarily revelatory aspects of this fake pandemic, which is that we know beyond all doubt that ivermectin is the solution. Ivermectin is like a miracle, isn't it? It's like, you take ivermectin, you don't die of coronavirus. And yet, I bet you that if our mothers were dying of alleged COVID, the NHS would probably refuse to give them ivermectin because they want to promote the narrative that only the vaccines are the thing, and ivermectin is a distraction.
That's a bold claim. Yeah, I mean,
is the NHS routinely prescribing?
I genuinely haven't followed it. I thought that they had improved on the approving of ivermectin, but I haven't. I don't follow that as in much detail as you would. I see the headlines kind of thing and check what the narrative is, but I don't go. There are other people that can go way, way down the rabbit hole. I leave that to your.
No,
research.
Well, look, I'm not totally sure of the where we are on the NHS now, but we do know that in the last year, first hydroxychloroquine and then ivermectin have been suppressed by the medical establishment because they want the justification for us having these alleged vaccines. You know, the vaccines can only be allowed if there are no other remedies available. You know, and there are, but they've suppressed.
And if we get a third wave, it will be the non-vaccinated that will get the blame. They're teeing that up. Oh, you're recording now.
I remember this time to do that record thing because do you remember the disaster when I did my brilliant rant?
Yeah, you were better than
Captain
me.
Captain Tom.
Oh no, yeah, speaking.
Do you remember Captain?
I do. I do. Say that's.
He's not. He hasn't come back to life. Has
no,
he?
It's saying Captain. Is that what you're about to tell me? No, but you know, are you ready for your feast day on the 4th of July, the feast day of the heroes? Because the COVID is a religion. Yeah, are you doing your thank you? Are you gonna get your thank you card ready for just to thank whoever you want to thank? Have you not? This is the latest. Have you heard this? Even someone in the Times was like, pass a sick bucket. Yeah, one of the nurses who administered the first vaccine, who in the picture in the Times was really looked like a film star. It's amazing how well they do their makeup, these nurses. She wants now a national day of thanks, I think on the 4th of July. But again, this again is to be expected because it's essentially a feast day for the COVID religion. Obviously, I won't be taking part in that. But yeah, so it's the same theme. And I also wanted to, and I mean, the ivermectin thing is important, but I don't think we covered, I think my low point in the last 8 weeks, and I was missing for about a week, 4 weeks of it, was, oh my God, Prince Philip's funeral. What a COVID propaganda coup that was. That was a low point. I mean, to see the Queen basically forced her, she's too old anyway now to put up any resistance, right? Just because she must sit on her own with a mask. We're all being, you know, COVID secure here, even though she's had a double vaccine. They will have all have been double vaccinated, but they're all sitting in their little huddles. To see that woman forced to sit on her own, as I said, away from her family, when you know it was completely the people in the background going, oh, you must do this. We must have the visuals. You're just like, you people are.
Yes.
Easy. you're actually evil to do this.
They are, well, there's no, I think there's no question on that. But who are these people? I mean, who makes these decisions? You see, there is is the counter argument that, that the royals themselves are part of the problem.
Well, I get that.
And that by taking the vaccine, they did publicly take the vaccine. I mean, for me, that was my watershed moment where I just went off the lot of them, because I thought whether they're being used or whether they're willingly participating in this thing,
it's not just that, but she did the whole like think of others, take the vaccine thing. So of course, and I certainly don't have the same attachment, but I think what they would have done, and it won't have been a difficult thing to do for her at least. She's what age is she? 90 something. Her entire life is duty. Right. This is it. And they would have just sold it to her. This is your duty. You have to do this. You have
again,
to take
they vaccine. Though. Who are they?
Well, they're just the suits in the back. I mean, they're people in the background. I don't know, the government, whoever advises
them. How do you become one of these suits? I mean, they can't all have been born into the ancient families. Some of them must be just kind of like the equivalent of.
Yeah, but they want once you want to be on the inside, right? And we did C.S. Lewis did this before. Once you want to be in that group, you want to be in the whatever establishment.
Yes.
You will compromise. You will. It's very difficult not to be. So you should be surprised about the people who don't compromise, right? Because it's always inch by inch, right? Oh, it's not that big a deal. It's only this little principle I have to compromise on, or this little principle. So you just slide further and further down. It's always small steps. It's very rarely.
Do you know what? People, I've learned so much in the last 18 months, and I've changed so much. Not least because of the kind of people that I've been, you know, the fellow travellers, fellow travellers on the journey of discovery and seeking after truth.
Yeah.
And a lot of people make the point that Oxford and Cambridge are basically training grounds for the servants of the cabal. You know, that they're like, if you want to become part of this disgusting establishment, they're the places to go. And I suddenly, looking back, I realized that I was at Slytherin without knowing it. It really was a training ground for
And it's whatever it happens to be. So it might have been previously, you know, they were training you for colonial India, or nowadays they're training you for something else. No, I mean, I know I go on about it a lot, but I did read it. I'll have to look it up because it is very good, viewers. It's called, I think, and it's interesting how you say, Oxford and Cambridge being the obvious, because this speech given by...
and Imperial.
C.S. Lewis, was given at like some sort of, the inner ring was given some, I think, at a dinner at one of these places, at either Oxford or Cambridge. And it's quite funny because he's right in the middle of that crowd, and he's like, I know what you're going to do. You're already, you know, part of the absolute elite. And you're part of the, I think it's called, Beware the Temptation of the Inner Ring. You're already in an inner ring. It's only going to get more and more exclusive. And it's a really, I'm sure you can get it on the internet. I've just Googled it now.
I'm gonna have to read so much more of him.
He's short. Can I say something really? A lot of the essays are short, so that's why he's very accessible. Yeah.
Did you want to know something really weird?
Go on,
I don't think I've mentioned this before.
Oh, it's a great one, though. Yeah.
The people who... Alumni of my school could not be more extremely contrasting.
Okay.
C.S. Lewis went to my school.
Yes, and you said so that before, yes.
And so did Aleister Crowley.
Okay.
How weird is that, eh?
I mean,
it's almost like it was all planned. I was sent to the same school as Crowley and C.S. Lewis, and I had to make the choice. I was thinking about this though. I was thinking, do you think when I was at Oxford, like all the people were trying to shape me into being a creature of the inner circle? They were going, why doesn't he get it? Why isn't he with the program? I mean, how can I have gone through this and remained proof to the blandishments of these people?
I don't know. It's difficult. I mean, it also depends on, you know, I do think money is important in that if you don't have some protection, it's obviously a lot harder to withstand the onslaught. But you know,
you're saying I'm rich.
No, I've no idea if you are, but I mean, you can tell some people, but I mean, it didn't protect people like Jacob Rees-Mogg or whatever, right? I mean, it's a very...
No, it hasn't, has it?
No.
Nor has Catholicism.
That's the weird thing.
You would have thought somebody with having absolute fuck ton of money and Catholic Church, you would have thought he would be proof, but also, he ain't, is he?
He's, I think, Latin Mass Catholic Church, which is not even... I'm Latin Mass Catholic Church, mainly because there isn't one near me. And I mean, if you walked into, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. If you went into a Latin Mass in the UK, the majority of them will not take the vaccine. I'm willing to be proven wrong on that, but you know, they would be, yeah, they're going to have a healthy skepticism of all of this. But as I said, I could be wrong.
And I bet if you went into an Orthodox church, you'd get even fewer.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. Whereas in the Church of England, churches actually will convert to give people the vaccine. Oh, but
the other people. Sorry, carry on.
No, it was only a small point. I meant to say that now, by the way, might be time to take to the mask and the 2 meters. Do you know why? You know, the vaccinated shed. Did you pick
shedding
that up?
Yeah. Yes, totally. Yeah.
So please, I don't want you to hear me. I think the irony of
this
that
is good. This is going to happen. Apparently, so I read on the internet, so it must be true.
Yep.
What these vaccines do is essentially pump prime you to make you susceptible to wild viruses.
How long is the shedding?
Yeah, you see, I think we haven't seen. Wait till you hear my whistleblower. I finally recorded my interview with my whistleblower. We've just got to distort her voice so that she can't have her job taken away from her.
Wow.
Talking about her experiences in an NHS doctor's surgery and the number of people. We are talking thousands of adverse reactions, none of which are being reported. Do you know why? So this poor woman is getting... over 1,000 calls a day. Can you imagine how much what that must do to your ear when you get 1,000
calls? Can you get
1,000 calls a day? Okay. A practice of 20,000 people.
Yeah. Okay.
And these calls are, most of them are about adverse reactions.
Mm.
And she says what the doctors do is they spend the phone call when they get eventually put through, because they don't see them in person, obviously.
Sure.
They reassure them that, no, it's nothing to do with the vaccine.
Yes.
And the result is A, they don't get word of mouth, which stops other people taking the vaccine, which means that the doctors get their £15 a shot, whatever it is. But B, what it means is that it doesn't get reported on the yellow card. It doesn't get reported to the adverse reactions, because they've all been reassured by the doctors. No, it's got nothing to do with the vaccine.
It's an amazing coincidence.
But you're right. The next stage, there's no doubt that we unvaccinated are going to become the scapegoats. And it's going to get very, very nasty, even though it's not our fault. We've done nothing wrong.
No. Well, I've told the husband, well, I mean, I've asked him, I said, you know, just as I said, my if anybody asked me for advice, I don't tell people what to do, you know, people I know. Why don't you just hold fire? You know, just wait a year, wait 2 years. Let's just hold out for as long as we can. I'd rather you didn't get it, because I don't want it via shedding. But we'll see. Anyway, I mean, the thing is, as I said before in a previous podcast, even if you surrender, right, and get it as an adult, then they'll only say, all right, well, now all the kids, because you want to go on holiday, right? Then it's like, okay, well, now all your kids have to get it. And I'm not doing that, no matter what, you know. So there's no point. If you surrender on the first thing, you only end up, you know, you end up surrendering on everything. So,
well, do you see about how airlines are now saying that the risk of blood clots with the vaccinated people is means it may not be safe to them to go on airplanes?
it's too ridiculous. Oh, I see Spain will accept people now without a test. And I've seen them without a vaccine. But you know what that means? That means they'll be slammed on the red list. They'll be going on the red list, right?
Yes, of course they will. It's all it's all a pantomime organised by the international.
It's all, and even if they came back from, even if you're coming back, say they get an amber, the government is still going to ask you to take like, you know, 10 tests. So I have a friend, they have one child and they're going away soon to an amber list country. And they have to take, the child is exempt from one and they have to take 13 tests. Like, it's just, it would be funny if it's not so serious. What? So you can imagine, yeah, so you can imagine what you'd be doing with your three kids. It would be like 50 tests. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want, yeah, because you have to take at least, it's crazy. You have to get like one to get on the plane going out, one to get on the plane getting in, and then another 2 to 3 when you're here. And if you're amber list, it's 10 days in quarantine. So you have to get a test on day 5 to get out of your 10-day home quarantine nonsense. It's all nonsense, yeah. Anyway. I don't really like talking about it. But, you know, for viewers who are wavering and thinking, well, you know, they're not making it easy for you. And then coming back to the media, again, government adds £1,500 to average family holiday. That used to be a headline, James. Now it's oh, we've got it. And if you look at that green list, I reckon they deliberately are taking the piss there, right? You can just imagine them in there going, right, who do we put on the green list? Go on, put on the Faroe Islands. Go on, go have a lot where it's like minus 15. Yeah, okay. What about Australia, New Zealand? Yeah, yeah, put them on. You can't get in there, can you? No.
You can't get there, yeah.
No, you won't let in. They won't let in. Right, well, put them on. Oh, a couple of, I hear a few of those people up in Manchester, there's some football match going on in Turkey. Yeah, no, I'm not having that. No, stick them on the red list. And like, nobody can see it. Like, that list is a list of, it's the pit, they're taking the piss out of you, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but what can you do?
It's not, this is all part of an overarching plan to crush us totally. Did you see the rugby, for example, which you would have thought, the thing about rugger is it's a kind of proper sport where you sort of hack each other to pieces, and it's a kind of it's a gentleman's thug sport, and a lot of the sporting organizations, it's been hijacked by the wokearati. Yes. So we mentioned, I think the other week, Wimbledon's been hijacked by the wokearati. Yeah. You know, if you're a tennis player, you can't rent a house like you normally do. You've got to stay in a sort of quarantine concentration camp, you know, allocated by the government, designated by the government. Mm. In the same way, rugby, they've now decided to change the name of the Saracens rugby team because it's...
No, I thought they had...
Saxons.
The second team. Yeah, Saxons have now gone. Well,
you've what's shocking about Saxons? What's... I mean, look, and also, sure, they are invaders. They stole our country, didn't they? We were Celts, and were the...
Which came first, Anglo-Saxons sort of and then tribes. The Normans? Is that what happened?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's good for me.
No, so it depends where you are in history. You know, obviously, if you're in the 5th century, 6th century, then you are a Briton and you're thinking, who are these ghastly Saxon invaders? But by the time of Alfred, you're thinking, I'm a proud Anglo-Saxon. Who are these ghastly Viking invaders? Right, yes. And then after that, you get,
No, well,
we always play the underdog.
You have brought me to my only rant. I really want to stay in this. And this is whole. Yeah. Because it's another very good example. So obviously the media was dominated with, you know, oh, the Tories have won Hartlepool. It's the end for Labour, you know, and the woke agenda is got, everybody hates the woke agenda and the cancel culture, which I think is true. Right, in that, let's going back to the silent majority, obviously people in Hartlepool or wherever don't care about a rugby team being called Saxons. And I tweeted, and I stand by this, and it's like, it's in terms of the woke agenda or the cancel culture, they don't need Hartlepool. They already have the academy, the civil service, the legal profession, the police, who you would consider were fucking conservative, right? The police. Yeah. Most of the sports institutions like the National Trust, most of the schools, most of the churches. Oh, but the Tories got Hartlepool. They don't need it. They have everything and all the corporations, right? So they don't need anything else. They don't need your
silly
There's
one you're missing from that list.
Oh, go on, tell me. Eaton?
The Conservative, obviously, but the Conservative Party as well.
Yeah, and
that's the real joke. That's the bitter joke.
I know.
That we're being asked to celebrate. This is all a charade.
No, I know, you're
when
right.
You've got Harry Cole in The Sun, who is so establishment, so cabal, saying things like, oh, isn't it marvellous, the Tories. Well, I tell you, whenever I see somebody on Twitter now, having a go at Labour, you know, a Conservative having a go at Labour, it's almost an insta block, because I'm thinking, what are you saying here? That somehow the Conservatives are really great and conservative and they're going to rescue us from socialism? They're the problem. They're as bad as Labour.
You know, the thing is, James, it's not even socialism that's so much the problem. It's things like changing rugby teams to Saxons. It's things like the NHS referring to expectant mothers as pregnant people. It's things like saying, I think it's fine to put boys in girls' changing rooms. You know, and I know that you can say, well, look, we're also going to be taken over by, the world's going to be taken over by Bill Gates. And that is true. And it's a big problem. But the other things, you know, I do think taken as a whole really matter. And I mean, the Conservatives are sort of 80%, 70% woke anyway. Okay, so they won't take the knee immediately like Keir Starmer did for Black Lives Matter. But I mean, what have they done for the police force? The police are still running around policing people's tweets. They're still running around with like rainbow flags everywhere. You know, I mean, it's the whole, ridiculous, pantomime.
I totally agree with you. Look, it's like we are mistaken if we think that if we were to abolish the WEF tomorrow, and if Klaus Schwab were eaten by one of the sharks in his shark tank,
that'd be nice.
It would make zero difference. If the World Economic Forum disappeared, it would make no difference. The people, the people behind what's going on would still be doing what they're doing. And everything you deplored there, every aspect of woke culture, is a part of it. It is all designed to crush us. It's designed to remove every last vestige of what is valuable about our civilization, and it is deliberate.
Yeah.
I was watching with my daughter last night, what's it called? Not Measure for Measure, Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
And it was a BBC production from 1984. And it was fabulous cast. They had Robert Lindsay as Benedict. They had Clive Dunn as some old person. They had Rene from Hello, Hello in one of the roles, I think. And they had Cherry Longhi. It was, and you watch this production, and here was the remarkable thing that struck you: everyone could speak the verse. Everyone had probably been trained by Cicely Berry. Everyone could speak they could respect the iambic pentameters while simultaneously conveying the sense of the words. And Shakespeare is quite hard. Mm. And it was beautiful. It was well acted. But here's the thing. There was no diversity casting. Mm. There was nobody had been cast because of their skin color.
Yeah.
Or because they were gay or because they were disabled. They had been cast purely because they were proper actors who could do Shakespeare.
Yes.
Now, when you criticize things like that, you are now, you know, I've stopped going to the RSC because I can't bear these crappy productions where they've got, you know, kind of Indian twins who are supposed to be the son of Anglo-Saxon fathers or mothers or whatever. It's visually confusing, but B, it's obvious that if quality of acting ceases to be your main criterion, inevitably you're going to get a deterioration in the performances, wild variations of the performances. So that you normally get a kind of the lead player is normally pretty good. You'll get somebody like Anthony Scher, but then you'll get the second tier players are often really, really rubbish. It's like watching a school production. This is deliberate. This is not just some kind of weird trendy director coming along because his boyfriend's his boyfriend is Anthony Sher, and therefore he's kind of woke. They are all like that. That every institution, the RSC is no longer good at Shakespeare. The National Trust, as you mentioned, doesn't preserve ancient.
It's not just even diversity casting, which you can nearly live with. I mean, I agree that it can be visually confusing. It's that they'll change the entire story, or they'll say that the language is too complicated, so we're going to modernize it, right? Or actually, we're going to make Romeo and Juliet like Romeo and Robert or some. I mean, this total destruction of, as you say, our culture and heritage. And it, on the front of the Sunday Times as well, so after the, but we won Hartlepool, was like a list of all the schools, many of which were private and incredibly elite, now again changing the names of their buildings because, you know, Gladstone wasn't on board with transgender bathrooms 200 years ago, even though he was one of the most liberal, progressive politicians of his time, right? I mean, we probably wouldn't have been on board with old Gladstone back in the day. But at the time, it was like he had links to slavery. The usual nonsense. And the teachers are like, and the thing is, okay, it's one thing for the kids to do it, because this is obviously a way to rebel. But it's another thing for the teachers and the parents to completely go along with them, that there are no adults in the room anymore willing to point out that actually you cannot judge somebody retroactively. And all the great thing, most of the great things about our society comes from men like Gladstone's. And you know nothing, really, as a child. You are a profoundly ignorant person, Miss 16-year-old. And anything that you know is because you're standing on the shoulders of giants. Instead, this teacher was like, no, we're listening carefully because our students are talking truth to power. And you're like, you're also profoundly ignorant, because they're not. They're just going over dead people. They're going after dead people, which is the easiest thing you can possibly do, is to go after the dead, right, that have nobody to defend themselves. And again, it's just so cowardly. It's how they dress up courage as courage. You're like, yeah, and there are no adults in the room. And this goes way, way back to that motto, where the silent majority came from, and it came from Nixon. And this other American commentator, well, Ann Coulter, who is my secret favorite, probably, she's just like, you know, back then when Nixon was, there was a silent majority and Nixon got elected, that's because the adults were willing to tell all these students who were burning the place down to put a sock in it. Whereas now, all the people who were burning the place down in the 60s, they're now the head of all the universities, right? They are the ones now in charge. They are the ones with the power. So if you're looking for them to hold the line on any basic level of tradition or your heritage, you're going to be sorely mistaken, because they were the ones that kicked this thing off.
But if you listen to Alan Watt, you will realize. I must send you the link to the Alan Watt video sometime. Oh, it'll make so much sense. When you realize that this thing has been planned at a much, much higher level, you think about it. Imagine if you wanted to destroy Western civilization, and you wanted to crush the people, crush ordinary people, crush the middle classes. What would you do? If you were focusing on our country, well, in the UK, so you'd pick Eton, and you'd think, right, We're gonna get rid of their uniform. We're gonna get rid of all their traditions, which is what Trendy Hendy, this creature that's currently their headmaster, tried to do. You'd take the Royal Shakespeare Company, it's sort of endorsed by the royal family, so given the imprimatur of excellence, Shakespeare in the title. So it's going to be really good at doing Shakespeare. Who is Shakespeare? Shakespeare is the world's greatest dramatist. I mean, he is the best. He's just the finest flowering of our literature. What would you do? So you'd have university courses suggesting he's problematic, issuing trigger warnings when students want to study him. You would have the RSC doing really shit productions, just like prioritizing, just like crap actors, because they've got the right skin color and it seems fairer that way, you know. And you've got the guy who runs the RSC actually saying this. What's his name? I forget. annoying anyway. You know, he defends this because he thinks it's good. But what else would you do? You'd ruin sport, obviously. Mm-hmm. You'd emasculate the army. You'd rename firemen firefighters they're called, and you'd put adverts like the one outside my local fire station, recruitment adverts of a woman, you know, woman in the photograph, and giving no indication that the job involves carrying people out of burning buildings and dragging a heavy hose out of it. You know, you'd forget all that. So you'd weaken, you'd turn the police into a sort of politically correct enforcement agency and so on. So everything is going to plan. This is not mm-hmm. accidental. This is all part of a. And what do we do? Why is it that so few of us can see it? I mean, why is it that people listen to this show every week and they say, well...
Because they just pick off, not everybody is affected by the same institutions, right? So, you know, most people won't know their Shakespeare as well as you do. So what's going on there won't really affect them, or if you're not...
But they can tell a shit production from a good production, surely.
Yeah, but they won't even go to a production, you know. I mean, this is the truth. But you're right in that all you have to do is infiltrate the main institutions. Who votes what in what council election means nothing. It's completely, you know, it's not important.
Actually, because that's the way that Local Agenda 21 gets enforced. I'm going to do a podcast shortly with somebody called Rosa Coire, I think she's pronounced, talking about communitarianism, which is what's really happening in the world. I mean, it's like communism, it's like fascism, yes. but it's kind of more insidious, and it controls everything, and it's done at a local level, local government level. So they introduce all these kind of mandates and things, which people just don't know are happening. And, you know, things like land use, you know, you don't own private property anymore because what you can do with your land is now dictated by these directives that you had no control over, kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, this is it. You know, this is the thing is they can wheedle their way in lots of different ways. And you're just kind of, you know, you're trying to hold back. You might have prevented one assault somewhere, right? But someone else is coming around your flank or whatever it is. My military references aren't what they should be.
I like it when you try military references. You know how excited that makes me. I've got to go, unfortunately, because wife's got a Zoom call now with her office thing. And anyway, I'm really glad we could do a show this week. I think people so miss it when you're not there.
Okay.
Actually, you know, you are quite a cult hero now.
Well, that's fine. Yes. Good. Yeah. No.
How's the pregnancy going?
Yeah. Fine. Fine. I can't complain. All good. I can't be as quiet. I'm already having to cut down on walking and stuff, which I don't like because I'm quite active. But
not until
September. So, you know, yeah, you have to keep going for as long as you can.
Have you thought about having one of those protective jabs that are being recommended for pregnant women to protect you from COVID?
No,
because the NHS tells me that our NHS says it's really important to get one.
It's crazy. No, I think I'll just keep my distance, you know, and keep going. No, I'm not going to do that.
Good. All right.
Okay.
By the way, everyone, don't watch on YouTube anymore because YouTube actually knocked Laura and I off last week for no reason. We hadn't done anything wrong apart from being ourselves. Watch on Odyssey. I've got a channel on Odyssey, Odysee, which I quite like because they pay you in crypto tokens or something, crypto's great. We love crypto. Seriously. And please support me on Patreon and subscribe star as well. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Okay, take it easy, James. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.